We're looking at verse 31 and verse 32 about impacting the world around us. We're in Matthew 13. Let's read those two verses again, shall we? Always like to read scripture together. And it's a short passage, so we can easily get through it together. So we're in Matthew 13, verse 31, verse 32. Would you read that out loud with me tonight? Let's begin. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. We saw where the Bible tells us, verse 31, that we have the best source in the world, and we need to believe that. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. The mustard seed we saw, a representation of the gospel, the word of God, the man. Well, I guess we're going to look at that in just a second. But the gospel, the truth of God's word that can change a person's life, not just today, but for eternity, eternity. Isn't it a wonderful thing that you can see somebody's life change, not just today, but that forever they'll never be the same? Reading those, hearing from those missionaries, Michael Garmy, about somebody that got saved. And then in Scotland, McLennan's, somebody getting saved. Their trajectory is totally different now than what it used to be. Just like yours at one point when God saved you, when you called on him. The seed is the gospel, the word of God. Believe that you have the best Savior, the best Savior. The man represents, is represented of Jesus Christ. He is the author of salvation. He's the one who paid for it. He's the one who sealed it for us, that we will have salvation with God forever. Of course, the Holy Spirit is part of the gift of knowing Christ as Savior, but he is the one who has drawn us to himself. That's why I asked Eric, did you save him? And he said, no, it wasn't me. So praise the Lord. Yeah, we can't save anybody, but we are responsible as the opportunities come and when we strive to do it, to tell someone about the Lord Jesus. That's our responsibility. The field is the souls of humanity. We saw that the soul is the most valued of any unsaved individual. They can't take anything else into eternity with them. If they choose to continue to reject Christ, we know that soul, it doesn't go to heaven, it doesn't go in purgatory. It doesn't dissipate. It goes to hell. Hell is a real place, and there are souls there tonight. Eventually, that soul's going to end up where? If hell's bad enough, the Bible says the lake of fire is where the end, the final judgment, it will be. And they won't be alone. Satan will be there. The Antichrist will be there. All the bad guys and alone in torment forever. Believe that you have the best Savior. Then we saw in verse 32, we need to believe that we have the best sanctuary. Verse number 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, the theme of this parable is stated right there in verse 31. The theme is what? I should say the place of the theme. The kingdom of heaven. But he's talking about growing the kingdom of heaven, as adding into it and so forth, and how God can use you and me. So that's the point about looking at this passage tonight and continuing on, that we need to seek how God wants to use us to grow the body of Christ. The body of Christ has a humble beginning. We saw that in Isaiah. Jesus is referred to the branch, the root and the branch, just a small thing. We've got branches on our ground still. Now the snow's starting to melt a little way. And we see plenty of those branches. They mean nothing on the ground, but on a tree that's growing, that's strong, it can continue and grow farther and even have more branches to grow. Jesus Christ is the foundation, the Holy Spirit. We saw in Acts chapter 2 and John chapter 20, God, the Bible says Jesus breathed on the disciples, the apostles there in chapter 20, and they received the Spirit of God. But it seems in Acts chapter 2 is when they were received, the Bible talks about the tongues and that it appeared as tongues in front of them, that's when the Spirit of God stayed with them. Now, that's just my opinion, but that is part of how God ushered in the church age. Remember, who was it that read the Philippines letter? You read that one. Brother White said, boy, it would be nice to be there at Pentecost and learn that language. He made sense. He made interesting sense how one person might speak in a language that the other one can understand, and then the other person responds in a language that's different, but the original person can understand that. Perhaps that's how it worked. We don't know. But the Bible says that as they preached the gospel that way in Acts chapter 2, everyone understood them in their own tongue. Let me ask you this. Could that ministry happen today? Is that the way the Holy Spirit works today? That all of a sudden, there's a rush of wind. We're going to go out and we're going to go reach the Hispanics of Eaton Rapids or whoever, because we automatically know. Well, obviously the answer is what? No. No, that's not the way it happens. That was a specific ministry during the time of the apostles, and it has come to an end. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, whether there be tongues, they shall what? Cease, the Bible says. But, of course, there's still people out there who have a different language that need to be reached with the gospel. That's why you have dedicated people called missionaries who try to learn a language that they know nothing about, but they know that a soul needs to hear from them about Jesus. That's part of our, it should be on our list, you know, prayers for them, that the communication becomes clear for everybody. The Word of God, it nurtures believers to be Christ-like. Acts chapter 2, let's go there to Acts chapter 2. And verse 40 to 47. Let's look at that one. Again, that same day, Holy Spirit came upon them. Verse number 40 talks about after Peter spoke and gave the message and many put their faith in the Lord. I want to start in verse number 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. What did God do in response to all their obedience? Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we see the body of Christ, it grew rapidly in that first century. Thousands upon thousands come to Christ in one day. Then in chapter 4, we saw how many came to Christ in that particular day. 5,000, the Bible says, in chapter number 4. One day, and it says, and that was just the men. So the Word of God and the Holy Spirit were working in the hearts of people, and many received Christ as their Savior. Were they forced to receive the Lord as their Savior? Were you? No. They got saved just like you did. They heard the news. Perhaps it happened right at that moment. Perhaps it was later on, just like was shared tonight. Back home, they realized, man, this is what I need, and called on the Lord. Either way, they had to receive Christ in faith and accept him as Savior. The Bible says many came to the Lord in that first century. And the Bible says, at least in Acts chapter 2, not only were they saved, but they also got baptized, which is pretty, well, that would be exciting to see, I'll tell you. That would be interesting to see. 3,000 people, maybe it didn't all happen in one day. I'm guessing maybe they took a few to finish that. But the Bible says very clearly they all wanted to obey the word of the Lord. That's what helps a church to grow, amen? When everybody wants to obey the word of the Lord. And that's our focus, that's our goal. It's not anything else. We see here, we'll continue on here as we look in the Bible the heritage of, here's the blank, faithfulness to Christ continues to impact the world today. So that was mostly in Jerusalem area, right there where the Jews were pretty comfortable with their kind, their culture. But God said, no, that's not where you're going to stay. Remember, he told them to go to Jerusalem, and then where in Acts 1:8? Judea, which was, oh, wait a minute. We don't really care for those people. But even worse than that, worse than Judea would be Samaria. Samaria. Those are the dogs of our heritage. We don't want to bother with them, but they did eventually. And then he says, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hey, God was thinking of you, amen? On that day, he was thinking of you and me, and the command was given. And yet they did not do that until persecution came. Acts chapter 11, let's go there. Acts chapter 11. Do look at verse 19. The Bible says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now the Grecians are not Jews, they are the Gentiles, anyone who's not. They call them Grecians here. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, reading to verse 26, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. We're going back. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Something about that group in Antioch. They were not the Jewish believers, although there may have been some in there, but it seems when the Grecians came along or the Gentiles came along and got saved, there was a difference that the rest of the town saw, and they said, they're not like us anymore. They're different. And they kept telling us about this Christ, this Jesus, who can change our life. So they called him Christians, and Christian means what? Little Christ or copy of Christ, something like that. The Bible says that they were known for their testimony. Persecution ushered in missions, and it started there, specifically in Antioch, as the Bible continues to open up. Church planting and ministry was under the authority of the local church. Ephesians chapter 4, let's go there, and let me see if I can get some help with some others here. How about Philippians 1, 12 and 13? Would somebody look that up, those two verses up, when we get to there? Philippians 1, 12 and 13. How about Wren? How about you look up Philippians, if you would? And then, let's see. Kurt, 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14, if you would. Thank you. Okay, how about Romans 15, verses 18 through 20? Got lots of scripture here. If we could have some help, that would be helpful. Romans 15, verse 18 through 20. And what's your name? Faith, okay. We'll have you read that. One verse here, Romans 16, verse 16. Who would look up Romans 16, 16? Okay, Daryl's got that. And then another single verse, 1 Timothy 3, 15. Brother Dan's got that. Thank you. And then how about, and somebody might have this memorized, they could share it as well. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All right, Tabitha, thank you. Thank you very much. I hope we can get past that, but I don't think we're going to. But I'll just give the thoughts here before we finish. Ephesians chapter 4, that's where we want to be. We're talking about the church growing, the kingdom of Christ. And the Bible talks about his body. That's where we're at in this age today. We're in the age of the church that God works through. And Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that the church is how God authorizes his ministries. Verse number 11, if you take a look there, it says this, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Church planting, ministry, it's under the authority of the local church. These are positions and places and people that God raises to help use through the local church to reach souls for Christ. Praise the Lord for those kind of people. Amen. Praise the Lord for those that are faithful to reach others so that we can be edified, so that we can grow as a body, both locally, and he says that everyone who knows the Lord would grow to the perfecting of the saints. Perfect means what in the scriptures, especially in the epistles? Complete, or mature. God wants us to be mature. Church planting, ministry under the authority of the local church. Number three, leading nations were evangelized. Philippians 1, verse 12 and 13. And I think Ren has that one, don't you? Philippians 1, 12 and 13. Okay, what palace was he talking about in Philippians? It was the palace in Rome. Why do we know it was the palace in Rome? Because that's where he was when he was writing the book. That's where what Philippians was written under. He was under house arrest, and God used his testimony to reach the highest places of the empire. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Okay, thank you very much. It's not often you see a bright testimony in places of leadership in our government and so forth. Would you say that's true? We see a lot more bad testimonies, let me put it that way, than we do good. And I think they have some help that way. I think the media certainly looks for that, for juicy news. But there are people who know the Lord in government positions, in leadership positions, and believe it or not, court positions. There's court justices who do. We have to thank the Lord for that, but also ask God's help for that. You know, it's not beyond God to still save the soul of Gretchen Whitmer. And I've heard people sarcastically use her name, and I think you shouldn't do that. If you're a Christian, you should not jump in line with the rest of the world, because God sees her and others like her as a soul that Jesus died for too. It's not funny to him. And you and I ought to see seriously how God can use us, perhaps even in the lives of somebody who has an influence that we may never have, that God can use. God says he wants to use us and continue to do so, and he does. Leading nations are evangelized. Number four, what happens to the faithfulness as they continue to serve the Lord? Missionaries are sent to unreached people groups. Acts 13, let's go there. Acts 13, and look at verse number one. Again, areas where no gospel has been shared, but is obviously needed. Chapter 13, look at verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And the rest of the book of Acts is about their missionary journeys throughout Asia and reaching people that most of those folks in Antioch didn't even know existed, perhaps. But the truth is, there's still unreached people groups today. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we pray for God's hand on the lives of people, that they might surrender to go be that missionary to an unsaved person. Romans 15, verse 18 through 20 gives us some thought on that as well. Okay, thank you. This is a verse number 20, you might see a lot on missionary cards. It says again, "So have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." And what an exciting opportunity, but heralding. Remember the Apostle Paul, he didn't get through serving the Lord unscathed. He was stoned, the Bible says, beaten. I don't remember how many times he mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is, maybe 4, where he talks about how many times he was beaten with stripes and thought their lives were over, but God continued to be faithful to them as they strive to be faithful to the Lord. Continued faithfulness, that's what God wants to use for you and me. And then number 5. Hey, we ought to mention this. Continued faithfulness of the Baptist heritage. Heritage, that's the blank. Heritage. You find the word baptism, you find the word Baptist, John the Baptist, in the gospel, but the heritage means this, that the following, the faithfulness to God and His Word, handed down through the generations of believers and eventually to us here tonight. What are some of those things? We're going to stop right there. We're going to stop right there and look at them next time. I think they're important. This is not all of the Baptist distinctives. We've talked about that before, but here's some thoughts I think we ought to keep in mind. When we're being a witness, we want to impact the world around us to understand God's given us the best, and we should be willing to share that with others through His grace. All right, so let's go find a partner. Let's pray. Ask God to help us impact the world.